We have the tech to get food delivered in 15 minutes, but we all have horror stories about buying tickets. The Game Time app gives fans the advantage. Get amazing tickets in just a few taps. Fees are included, so what you see is what you pay. And the Game Time guarantee means authentic tickets at the best price every time. Take the guesswork out of buying tickets to concerts, sports, comedy, and more with Game Time. Download the Game Time app and create an account for $20 off your first purchase. Terms apply.
It sounds really easy to say, oh, just walk every day. But actually, it involves looking at your schedule and planning in your walks and making that commitment and actually doing it. I call convenience the C word. It's literally so bad for us. If it's convenient, don't do it. I mean, I laugh about it, but it genuinely is true, because the thing about, you know, the sitting down is that...
Welcome to Stoma for Life, the Bowel Cancer Awareness and Life as an Ostomate radio show and podcast. Your host, Rafaela, is here to debunk myths, clear up misconceptions, and help you approach the subject that so many people are afraid to talk about in a positive manner. Listen in for a new perspective. Stoma for Life on UK Health Radio.
Welcome, everyone, and thank you for tuning into Stoma for Life on UK Health Radio, the world's number one talk health radio station. As excited as ever, I'm delighted to have you join me today. If you're new to UK Health Radio, do check them out. They broadcast more than 40 different health shows, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, covering everything from physical health and mental well-being to nutrition, fitness, chronic illness, and just about every health topic you can imagine. As many of you know, Stoma for Life is a show very close to my heart. It's all about raising awareness of bowel cancer, sharing real life experiences, and supporting people living with a stoma. As a bowel cancer survivor myself, I know firsthand how life-changing a diagnosis can be. This year marks 4 years, actually 4.5 years, since my life-changing surgery. It's been a journey filled with challenges, lessons, gratitude, and a determination to help others navigate their own path. Through this show, I hope to educate, to inspire, and to remind you that there is life after cancer and life with a stoma. Today, however, I want to talk about another health challenge that entered my life after cancer treatment, which is lymphedema. About a year and a half ago, I was diagnosed with lymphedema after months of excruciating pain in my legs. Now, simple things that many of us take for granted became so, so difficult. Standing up, it was just absolutely painful. Like, climbing stairs was a major obstacle for me. And sometimes even moving around the house seemed absolutely daunting. Now, what made it particularly confusing for me is that I spent almost 30 years working as a flight attendant. So my working career involved being on my feet all the time, walking up and down airline aisles, moving constantly through the day. So when COVID arrived, my career changed direction and I found myself working from home in an office-based situation. So suddenly I was sitting for much of the day. And then I had my diagnosis. But at the time, I didn't really connect the dots. During my bowel cancer surgery, I had 30 lymph nodes removed. Now, that might sound like not a huge number when you consider that the average human body has about 500 to 800 lymph nodes. Now, these tiny structures play a vital role in the lymphatic system, helping to filter waste and support our immune system. Lymphedema occurs when the lymphatic system becomes damaged or unable to drain fluids effectively, leading to swelling, to discomfort and heaviness, and it also reduces mobility. One of the recognized causes in the removal or damage of lymphatic nodes during cancer treatment. Now, when I was diagnosed, I was prescribed compression tights. Now, if you've ever worn compression garments, you'll know they're not exactly easy to put on, especially every single day. And believe you me, taking them off is even worse. Now, alongside that, I was advised to exercise more. So I started researching. I discovered something that completely changed how I view exercise. Unlike our circulatory system, which has the heart pumping blood around the body, the lymphatic system has no pump of its own. Instead, it relies entirely on movement, muscle contractions, and even our breathing to keep lymph fluid flowing. In other words, if we don't move, our lymphatic system can't do its job effectively. So every walk, every stretch, every step will help move lymphatic fluid through your body. That was a real light bulb moment for me. I suddenly realized that movement isn't just about fitness or losing weight. It's essential for helping the body remove waste, manage fluid levels, and support the immune system. So, as somebody living with lymphedema, this discovery changed everything. I realized that movement wasn't optional, it was actually medicine. And that's exactly what I started doing. I started to walk. Nothing dramatic, nothing marathon-like training, no extreme fitness goals. I just started walking. Now, at first, the walks were short, actually quite short, but gradually they became longer. Day by day, week by week, I built my distance and my confidence. Along the way, I discovered something else. We hear a lot about the so-called magic number of 10,000 steps a day. Where did that number actually come from? Do we really need to hit that every day? And what are the actual benefits of walking? How much is enough? And why does something so simple seem to have such a profound impact on both physical and mental health? Those are exactly some of the questions we're going to be exploring today, because my guest is somebody who has made walking her mission. Harriet Thomas is the presenter of There's a Walk for That, a show dedicated to transforming physical health and mental well-being through the incredible power of walking. Now, Harriet's own journey began during a hiking holiday in Morocco's Atlas Mountains, and I'm sure she will be sharing with us how that led to her immerse herself in the science behind walking and its remarkable impact on our health. She's also the founder of the highly successful children's music organization, Boogie Mites, and the author of the upcoming book, Walk Yourself Wonderful. Now, today we'll be talking about the benefits of walking, the myth surrounding step counts, the science behind movement, and how something as simple as putting one foot in front of the other can have and the powerful effect on our health, well-being, and the quality of life. So, whether you're listening while you're out on a walk, driving in your car, or sitting at home, or perhaps recovering from illness and looking for inspiration, do stay with us. This is a conversation that could quite literally help you change your life one step at a time. So, please join me in welcoming Harriet Thomas to Stoma for Life.
Thank you so much. It's wonderful to be here.
Now, I mentioned it in the intro, something on a hiking trip in Morocco in the Atlas Mountains changed your outlook on, well, walking.
Yes, I mean, roll back a little bit from that hiking trip because I was at that time 58, I think, or 59. And like many people, you know, you've spoken about sedentary lifestyles. And like many people, I was running a business. I spent long hours in front of my desk. I was also wrote music, which also involved producing music is like another desk job. And I had begun to have backache every day and occasional chronic bouts of sciatica, which were very, very painful. I just thought, well, this is kind of getting older, right? This is just how it is. I need to suck it up, basically. I'm still going to carry on my life exactly as it is. Nothing is tearing me away from my desk. Until one night, I think it was the 15th of August, I can remember the date, 2022, it must have been. 2022. I woke up in the middle of the night. I wanted to go to the loo, as you do, and I actually couldn't move because my sciatica had staged a coup, and it was so incredibly painful. Anyone who's had sciatica knows that when you get a bad bout, it's agony. And, you know, I lay in bed thinking, you know, I'm 58. I can't get out of bed to go to the toilet. Yeah. You know, what am I going to be like at 68, 78, and so on? I did get out of bed, but it took me about 5 minutes, literally slithering out of bed. And then I had to crawl on my hands and knees to the toilet, you know, and then kind of pull myself up. You know, that was the moment that I was like, you know, I've got to do something. And the thing that occurred to me was I need an adventure. You know, if my body is about to collapse, I want to have an adventure before it does. And I consider myself a fit person. You know, I went to the gym. You know, it wasn't like I was not fit. I just had this terrible back and this sciatica. So I signed up for a hiking holiday, just 5 days, because I've always loved walking. Off I went to Morocco. We hiked through the Atlas Mountains, like incredible. But the real miracle was when I came home and I walked up my stairs and I'm like, well, my knees aren't hurting. In fact, they feel really strong and they feel really flexible. They felt so different. I actually looked at them. I was like, what's different? You know, I was trying to see the difference. And my back just felt amazing, you know, again, just flexible. What I realized was my body had been sort of aching and I was beginning to not be able to rely on it, you know, and I didn't realize until I came back from Morocco that it's like, this is what it used to feel like when I could rely on my body, when I could walk upstairs without pain, when, you know, I could just do life without pain. And I also felt, you mentioned it as well, the confidence. I felt so confident. I think it was partly because my body had somehow come back to myself and it was something I couldn't quite name. I just felt this deep, grounded confidence. And that was when I decided, well, I have to walk every day because I'm not going backwards now. This, you know, I'm not going back to how life was. And it sounds really easy to say, oh, just walk every day. But actually, it involves looking at your schedule and planning in your walks and making that commitment and actually doing it every single day.
UK Health Radio.
The station that makes you feel good.
Radio.
The station that makes you feel good.
You mentioned, I think, the consistency, and I agree with you. For me, I would always advise, what made the difference to me anyway, was doing it every single day. And I didn't go out of my comfort zone. I walked as much as I was able to walk. But in the similar way as you've mentioned, by doing it every single day, I soon noticed that I was able to walk further and further. You know, I would do a walk that had seemed like the edge of my ability. And then 2 weeks later, I was like, I want to go further now, you know. And it wasn't just that, like you say, it wasn't about the steps. It was because so much was happening as I was walking. I discovered joy and wonder. Those are the words I use. I discovered that no matter what was happening in my life, I would go out for a walk. And I would see something. You know, it could be, I remember one day in particular, I had a real challenge. It was a family challenge, a family relationship challenge. And it was really, really bothering me. And the thoughts were going round and round in my head. You know, that feeling that you're stressed and you're overwhelmed and you don't know what to do and you're, you know, just it's a really bad feeling. I'm sure it's one that most listeners can, you know, can relate to, that feeling. And I remember I went out and I was kind of storming along a little bit, you know, because I had this tension. And all of a sudden, and I do feel like the universe sent this to me, because all of a sudden there was a rain shower, just like out of nowhere. And this rain just fell down, and it made, I was walking by a canal, and it made this the most exquisite patterns in the water of these little like mini explosions of water and the reflections. It was so beautiful. I just laughed out loud. I literally laughed out loud. And like that, I was out of that state of mind. And so to discover that I've got this thing that is just outside my door that will bring me joy and wonder, that will bring a smile to my face, that is the biggest feeling of abundance. Sometimes I walk and I the thought comes into my head, I am so rich because I'm just surrounded. I live in London, so it's not like I'm in the most gorgeous rural place. I'm in London, but there's so much beauty, you know, when you go out to your local park. And so I guess what I'm trying to say is that this is what, you know, the backache and the sciatica was the push feeling. But what keeps me going, apart from the fear of you know, the, never wanting to go back to that, is this wonderful joy that is just there, and this calmness, and just, it's so life enhancing.
And, you know, it's not just one sense that gets challenged. It's so many senses, because you walk, you see different things, you smell different things, you experience so many things on a different level. And I just want to put it out there, and I'm sure I actually want to challenge anybody. You cannot go out for a walk and stay in a bad place or in a bad mood. I think it changes instantly.
If you are still in a bad mood, just keep walking. Exactly. Is all I say. Because actually, the thing is about walking, you know, we think about our mood as being a mental thing. It's something that's in our mind, and somehow we need to work our way through, maybe think our way through using our cognitive brain. But actually, when you walk, your body, your nervous system will automatically reset. It normally takes around 15 minutes. You don't have to think it. That's one of the lovely things about it. You just have to let the walking do its thing. Your body will reset. And it makes sense when you remember that we evolved over millions of years walking. You know, walking is how our bodies evolved, how our nervous systems evolved. Everything about this incredibly complex system that is our body developed through walking, as we were walking. And, you know, now in the last, 100 years or so, modern life invites us, if you like, or kind of offers us, doesn't even offer us, it's kind of the way we live now is so sedentary.
Yes, and it's conveniences that are out there that we can use.
I call convenience the C word. It's literally so bad for us. If it's convenient, don't do it. You know, I mean, I laugh about it, but it genuinely is true, because the thing about, you know, the sitting down is that our body is still getting stressed. You know, cortisol is flooding our body, and that is not necessarily a problem. The problem is when we're sitting down, we can't release that cortisol. That's the problem. The cortisol gets stuck in our system, and it causes so many of our modern diseases, or the diseases that are so common today, you know, the sort of high blood pressure, diabetes, stroke, cardiovascular problems, cancer, even dementia now, they're finding a link between sedentary lifestyles and dementia, and of course the anxiety and depression. So, you know, the World Health Organization has stated sedentary lifestyles as the biggest contributor to illness, non-communicable disease worldwide. Wow. Is our sedentary lifestyle.
That's actually frightening.
I always find it funny, you know, if you're doing one of those kind of online exercise videos, they always have a little health warning, don't they? You know, speak to your doctor before you do this yoga video or whatever. You know, I always think, you know, you should actually have the health warning on our computers. You know, ask your doctor before you sit for 8 hours at your computer and then sit in your car and then sit in front of the TV.
Yeah, because you do so much sitting. We don't realize how much sitting we actually do and how little we walk. I mean, I also live in London, and whenever I take the tube, obviously there are escalators there, but if there are stairs, I will walk the stairs, because I always say there might be a time when I cannot walk the stairs anymore, and then I will use the escalators. But now I walk, and I've actually recently just changed my job. And in our office building, we have 6 flights of stairs, and I walk them every lunchtime because I can, not because I have to, but because I can. And then I'm at the 5th story, I think to myself, well, why am I doing this? And when I get to the top, I think, yes, that's why I'm doing it.
Exactly. And I actually think that's a really great example of designing walking or designing movement into your everyday life. And I do believe it's something that we have to think more about, especially, I mean, whether you're working at home or whether you're working in the office, a lot of us are working at our desks. But there is a way, because how long does that take you to walk those 6 flights?
Maybe a minute.
Right.
Yeah. Maybe a minute. Maybe a little more. I don't know. Depends, because I usually walk it after I've eaten.
But that's also a really good thing to move after you eat as well, isn't it?
Yes.
I mean, it probably, you know, I don't know, but I could imagine you could sit waiting for the lift and then go up to the lift. You it might have even been quicker simply to walk it. So it might even be more convenient to walk too. But I think, you know, these what I call micro walks, you know, building those micro walks into your day can be so beneficial. Because I don't know whether you experience this when you're walking, but or when you're working and walking, but what I just have discovered as well is that if I'm sitting at my desk, and sometimes, especially if there's a deadline, I kind of, it's the stress, I kind of get into that stuck mode where I'm like, I literally can't think anymore. I know I've got to get this done, but you know, flight, fight, freeze. So I'm in freeze. And for me, the quickest way to get out of that is simply get out of the door, which can be really hard to, because you're like, no, I've got to fix this now. I've got to stay at my desk and fix this. Actually, what works is to get out of the door and just 10 minutes, brisk walk, 10 minutes, get the oxygen flowing, get the oxygen to your brain, get your nervous system relaxed again. And it's amazing the ideas that come. You know, I think it was Steve Jobs, you know, I love him as an example, because he's, you know, one of the most innovative and successful entrepreneurs of the 20th and 21st century. And, you know, you look at how he designed Apple Park, you know, like this a ring donut, you know, with the offices around the jam, as it were, which is a park, because that's where he did his thinking, that's where he did his meetings, that's you know, walking in that park was where he thought creatively. So if it's good enough for Steve Jobs, you know, I think we should you know, use his example. And of course, it wasn't just him. Charles Darwin had his walking path, and he would walk up and down it. You know, he had a beautiful home with a lovely garden, and he'd walk up and down what he called his thinking path. And that's where legend has it that he came up with the theory of evolution. So again, it's great for our creative thinking and problem solving.
Yeah. So why do you think walking is often overlooked as a powerful tool to improve our health and well-being? Why is it taken? Is it perhaps all the misconceptions that are out there, or because it's so convenient? Like you said, it's your C word. That's the C word, convenience.
I think it's a whole load of things mixed up. One of them, I would say, is capitalism and marketing, frankly, because we have been taught that fitness means, and you alluded to this, what is fitness? You know, we've been taught that fitness means going to the gym. And I love going to the gym, so this is not an anti-gym rant. I went to the gym this morning, I did a dance class. I love the gym, right? So this is not against the gym. But going to the gym is so different from walking. And if I had to choose between the two, I would always choose walking, because I can keep fit walking and I get all those other benefits as well. So, but the thing is, I think fitness has become a huge industry. But the fitness industry, I would argue, isn't working, because the amount of money that is spent on the fitness industry is getting bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger every year. And yet global health is getting worse and worse and worse every year. So it obviously isn't working. But so there's that. There's the marketing to say that if we want to get fit, we need to go to the gym. And then there's the convenience, you know, just how lives are. I was talking to Wes Streeting when he was health minister. He's now resigned, but when he was health minister, I interviewed him for my show, There's a Walk for That. And at that time, he was developing, or they had developed, a 10-year plan, health plan for Britain. And one of the key planks, one of the key of the three planks, was move more. And he was talking about how important it was to move more and how walking was so wonderful. And he has this lovely park that he lives next to, and walking is his happy place, and so on and so on. But when he is short of milk and he has to go to the supermarket, he jumps in his car, even though it's 10 minutes away. So he, you know, hand on heart, he knew what the problem was. And he was saying, since he's become an MP, or since he's become a cabinet member, you know, and very high profile, he's actually not allowed to walk around so much, because he has to have, you know, the security and stuff. He has to get driven around the place. So his weight has gone up, his fitness has gone down. But, you know, I just think he knows the issues that we have with health and his problem. He's actually trying to address those issues. And even he is seeing where the problem is, because he's doing it himself, this convenience. And just another example of that, I was speaking recently at there was a walking festival in London, the London National Parks Walking Festival. And I was speaking at their conference, and I started with a bit of a game, which was to ask everyone, how long did you sit down for yesterday? And we went through various categories, like, you know, how long did you sit down to eat? How long did you sit down watching the TV? How long did you sit down at work? And everyone then had to stand up. And the game was, okay, if it was 8 hours and less, sit down. 9 hours or less, sit down. And eventually we got to a few people, and I was like, at 13 hours. So they were sitting down for 13 hours, you know. And my point was to them is, you know, we're sitting in a room of walking experts, walking, you know, passionate walkers, people who want people to walk more. Look at yourselves. So we really need to look at our own lives. We really need to be honest with ourselves and look at how, you know, I call it a walking audit. You know, how long am I walking? Sorry, how long am I sitting every day? Because that's the beginning. That's where we start. And then the next step is, how can I just put walking in every day? Yeah. So convenience and marketing. are the enemies.
UK Health Radio,
the station that makes you feel good.
UK Health Radio,
the station that makes you feel good.
Now, I think a lot of people are also taken aback because we've got this 10,000 step myths. Now, I just want to debunk that myth. Now, I'm sure you'll agree, but the simple answer is you don't need to take 10,000 steps because research over decades has shown that significant health benefits can happen just with a few steps, like you've just mentioned. So for many adults, I think between 6,000 to 8,000 steps is more than sufficient, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, the 10,000 steps was marketing. It was marketing again, wasn't it? Wasn't it when they came out with, a step counter or...
Yes.
It was Japanese marketing. Yeah. And this is not Japanese, because Japanese also brought us Shirin-yoku, which is forest bathing, in the 1980s. And again, that is a science-backed, government-led initiative, which was to deal with the incredible problem that was happening in Japan in the 1980s with burnout and death as well, and suicide, due to the rapid urbanization and rapid technological advance that was happening in Japan at the time. I just wanted to put that in because I know some people might think, it's walking nonsense, it's a bit woo-woo and hippy-dippy. No, it really is based in science. But again, the 10,000 steps is debunked by science. But I do think steps are useful. Well, here is where I think steps is useful. Because for me, the way I use steps is just as a reality check on, actually, did I walk this today? because I am just like every other walking expert. You know, I live in the modern world and I can find it easy to get through my day. And I didn't take my afternoon walk, and P.S. I normally feel it because my back will start aching. That's actually what reminds me. Oops, get out there and do your walk. So for me, I use steps as a reality check. And I think when I first started in my walking journey, I didn't really count them, but they were counted automatically on my phone. And what I sort of saw, I just thought, if I did 5,000 steps, let me try and at least do 5,000 steps. You know, let me just try and then maybe I would start to do more, and then I'd look at my steps. Like, oh, wow, I'm on to 5,500. That's cool. So it's just a nice little way of having a reality check, I think. But for me, the most important thing is to stay within your limits. You know, I would say never push your limits. You don't have to push your limits with walking. That's the wonderful thing about it. If you do walking every day and you walk within your limits, you will naturally get stronger without injury. Which is so great.
I mean, that's what I noticed as well. And I mean, you said it right in the beginning. You were on a 5-day hiking trip and you already found the benefits. That's just 5 days of your life where it actually completely turned something around for you. So anybody listening to this, you can reap the benefits quite quickly already in this.
I think you reap the benefits very, very quickly. I think most people will know when they go for a walk, they feel better when they come back. So that's most people will know that. And it's really just like taking that up the next level. So how about, would you like to feel better every single day? Yes, who wouldn't? So try walking every day. And then you might find, I feel like I kind of had not a personality transplant, but some kind of transplant, because I was quite a volatile person, I'll be honest. So I was one of those people, I guess I was quite highly strung, and I was one of those people that, I had a million and one things going on, and then I'd lose my keys and then I would lose it. You know, I'd be like, where am I? You know, I could lose it like that really quickly. And what I discovered I would say probably within about the first month of walking every day, I realized that I felt calmer when I came back from my walk. Yes, I realized that. But something happened. What happened was I spilled my coffee. So I like a morning coffee every day. And I spilled my coffee and all the coffee grounds went like all over the floor, you know. So normally that would have been one of my like, oh my gosh, the coffee's gone everywhere. You know, that would have kind of set me off the edge. And I just remember this happening and I was like, oh, coffee's on the floor. I need to get the dustpan and brush. And then I was like, huh? How come I'm not getting angry? How come I'm not getting stressed? And that's when I realized that the calm that I was experiencing at the end of the walk was now a permanent thing. You know, I really want to speak to a neuroscientist about that, because I think what's happening is I have rewired my brain. So when something happens, it doesn't go into like that stress reaction. It just calmly deals with it. So I have this emotional resilience that I didn't have before. Yeah, but that didn't take a long time to happen. It's just incredible. Same with my weight. So I wasn't overweight or anything, but I was kind of 58, and I would say my, you know, my waistline, you know, it was getting more difficult to get into my jeans. You know, a bit of like, why don't I do all this, you know? And to be honest, I didn't really like looking in the mirror. You know, I was kind of like, I don't really like what I'm seeing, but what can I do about it? It's just my age, menopause, blah, 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 blah. No. So I started walking every day at the end of October. And my friend had a birthday party at the end of November, and I had nothing to wear except this pair of trousers that I hadn't been able to fit into for about 5 years. And I was like, ugh, let me just try those trousers, because I hate shopping. Let me just try those trousers. And I got the trousers out and I put them on. I'm like, what? What? The trousers fit around my waist. So, yeah, so my waist kind of went in again, you know, that and, you know, that was so cool. Honestly, at 58, that felt brilliant. But it didn't take long. That took 4 weeks. And I wasn't on a diet. So I wasn't on a diet or anything. It was literally, I was walking every day.
Now, for all our listeners out there wanting to follow you on social media, just quickly share with us the handle that they can follow you on.
Yes, do please come and follow me. I've got lots of exciting things coming up. So you can follow me at Feel Good Walk on Instagram or Facebook, or you can just Google my name. If you Google Harriet Thomas, something will come up for me. And yeah, I've got exciting news about my book. There's a walk for that. And also my walking academy, which is called Walk Yourself Wonderful. And so, yeah, lots of exciting things will come up. But I do also kind of share tips and, you know, ideas. So anyone who wants to bring walking into your everyday life, but I really do think one of the biggest things that is that stops us is just trying to make that new daily habit. You know, trying to start a new daily habit is one of the hardest things ever. You know, we all have those New Year's resolutions that last 5 days. You know, it's the hardest. I genuinely think that's one of the hardest things ever. So if anyone wants support with that, then please do come and look me out and, you know, send me a message, you know, comment on one of my posts and we can chat.
And, you know, walking is, as we said in the beginning, it's absolutely free. It's accessible any time of the day, no matter what the weather is. All you have to do is just put on the right type of clothes, take a brolly along or whatever, and you're good to go. How important do you think shoes are or what you wear? Is that important?
That's a really, really good question. So shoes are really important in terms of they need to be comfortable. And because my my daily walking journey has turned into like a, I also do long hikes now. So I've got kind of hiking wear, but if I'm just walking around the park, I'll just wear trainers. You know, I normally just wear trainers. However, if you live somewhere like England or like many other places where it rains a lot, that might be something that stops you from walking. Please do not let it stop you from walking. This is my guarantee. Rain looks much worse from the inside than it does when you're actually out there in it. When you're actually out there in it, it's amazing because you get the sound of the rain, you get the drips and the drops, everything looks shiny and lovely, you get whooshy water, it's just gorgeous. But you, it's nicer if you have waterproof shoes. So, you know, don't let that stop your walking journey. You know, just start with your normal trainers, start with whatever you've got, it doesn't matter. But as you progress in your walking journey, you'll probably want to just go to your local Decathlon or whatever and just get a pair of waterproof hiking trainers. You know, they'll see you through the rain, and you know, a waterproof jacket or something, and a hood, or you can just get a waterproof poncho. They really are pretty cheap. But don't stay in when it's raining. If it's your scheduled time for a walk and it's raining, honestly, promise, it's really fun walking in the rain. Remember, you know, I bet you've seen kids, how they splash around in the puddles, the joy on their faces. That is the joy you will feel when you're walking in the rain.
Harriet, before we finish, is there one thing you'd like listeners to remember? Well, what walking after today's conversation is, what would that be if there's one thing you want them to remember?
I would say, okay, here's what I'd love you to do, listeners. What I'd love you to do is go away, get a piece of paper and a pen, and start writing down all the things that you think you can't fix in your life. So it may be that nagging back pain, your hips, you're not as fit as you want to be, you don't have as much money as you want, literally every single thing. Your husband annoys you, your kids are driving you crazy. Write the list, okay? Anything on that list, I truly believe, will feel better after a walk. So write that list, go for a walk, you know, maybe take one of those problems with you, go for a walk, and see if you reframe that by the time you come back from your walk. Because I genuinely believe, I just think everything is fixed by a walk. And I know that seems ridiculous, but as you start walking every day, you'll literally know what I mean by that.
Harriet, thank you so much for joining me. And to the listeners, please do check out Harriet's show. There's a walk for that here on UK Health Radio. Now, listening to your story has certainly made me think about movement differently. I am already on my walking journey, but I will try and implement those things even more after having chatted with you, Harriet. So thank you so much. For me, walking started in a way of managing my lymphedema, but it has become so much more. It's really become a very important part of my life. So perhaps today's conversation will encourage all of you and all of us to take a moment and think about how much we move in our daily lives, or how much we do not move in our daily lives. Not how many steps we're doing, but not whether we're hitting that target. It's not about the target, but it's simply whether we are moving enough to support our health and our well-being. So thank you so much, Harriet. Thank you for listening to Stoma for Life here on UK Health Radio. Until next time, take care of yourselves and keep moving.